If you would, Matthew 13. Let me give you an idea of what we're going to do today. We are, over this week and next week, we'll be finishing a series that we began a few months ago, kind of a what we called a hit and miss series. We didn't do it straight through every week, but we hit some of these. But as of this week and next week, we'll finish a series we began on parables of the kingdom of God. So we're going to do a two for today. There are actually two parables that are kind of in our one idea, and we're going to look at those for a moment. But what we began to see, everybody, let me do a little definition for you here at the beginning, is as you may have noticed, we really value the kingdom of God here, because we have seen that the kingdom of God is not something that's far off. It's not something that you walk into after you die. It's not something that's coming in the millennium. It's something that Jesus said is here right now. A kingdom is simply, it is not only where a king rules and reigns, and you know where a king rules, basically whatever he says goes, and the people are gladly submitted to that king. But in the Bible, the word kingdom, basileia, is not only denotes the place of a king's rule, but also his authority to rule. And so, Jesus said, the kingdom of God is here. God has authority to rule and reign now. And so, Jesus said, pray like this: God, let your kingdom come. If it was just a future event, you know, something happened in the millennium or after we died, why would he say, pray for that? Jesus said, pray this way: let your kingdom come and let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Turn earth into a colony of heaven. Let your will, just the same way your will is done in heaven, let that same will be done on earth. And so we've begun to see the implications of that over the last few years here. It grows and grows and continues to get bigger in our view and in our experience. As we see God, listen, we've seen God heal. We've seen him raise the dead. We've seen God restore families. We've seen God turn the hearts of children back to their parents. We've seen God save lives. And so it's been an amazing thing. So we know there's more. Okay, there's more kingdom than we've ever seen that is available to us. So what we want to do is find out more about how to enter this transaction. So here's what I'm going to do today, everybody. I'm going to invite you, at the end of this message, I'm going to invite you into a transaction. I'm going to invite you to do this thing, to step into the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is simply, again, his rule and reign in our lives. It is, you know, it reminds me of back in the 70s, it's what we called lordship of Jesus Christ. You know, well, can you be saved, Jesus not be Lord? Well, you know, we never did really settle that question, but it's about lordship. It's about my favorite term in the Bible, surrender. And so the kingdom of God then is us saying, God, I want to be so up under your rule and reign. I want you to have your way in my life in every way, so completely in my family, in my home life, in the way that I treat my wife and my children and my neighbors and my kids. God, I want you to be so in control of my life in every way that I can say you are my king. You know, Jesus said, you know, why do you call me Lord? Don't do the things that I say. And so stepping into the kingdom is us saying, God, I want you to have my life. I trust you because I know you and I love you and I want to know you and love you more. But I trust you with my life. And so when we do that, Jesus said, unless a man's born again, he can't see the kingdom of God. That doesn't mean you can't go to heaven when he dies. I mean, that's part of it. But unless we get born again, unless we give our lives to Christ and he makes us new, he gives us new life, then we can't get in on this wonderful rule and reign of God in our lives today. Yo, listen, it is a wonderful place to be. If we agree that God is good all the time and that he is made of love, and he doesn't just have love, he's made up of it. If we agree with that, then we'd have to agree that being under his rule and reign is a good thing. Letting God have his way in our lives is not a bad deal. So, with that in mind, we've been looking at the kingdom parables, where Jesus said the kingdom of God is like, and we've seen some amazing things, and hopefully, and Neil and I are going to work on this, we'll have these up on the website very soon. But there's something I want to show you today in Matthew 13, two parables, two in one. Today is a special. Yeah, hear one, get one free. All right. So, look in verse 44 of Matthew 13. Matthew was writing to he wrote his account of Jesus' life to a primarily Jewish audience who considered it irreverent to say or write the name of God And so Matthew substituted that for heaven. He's the kingdom of heaven. The unfortunate part of that is when we read kingdom of heaven, we tend to put our 21st century substitution in there. We think the kingdom of heaven is heaven, somewhere you go after you die. And so we put off the kingdom until later. And you cannot appropriate now what you put off till later. You can't get the benefits of it now. And so listen, God wants us to experience His rule and our reign so much more than we could ever imagine. You know, our friend Jack Taylor says, the kingdom is bigger than we thought. You know, and I remember he asked us this one time, you know, how much of, y'all listen, let me ask you a question, how much of God's rule and reign, how much of the kingdom of God, His authority, does He want us, how much of that should we experience? Yeah, I would say all too, but all would kill me. If I experience the rule and reign of God, I mean, the power of God, the kingdom, if heaven came to earth the way that I believe God wants it to through the church, I would blow into a million pieces. I'm not kidding you. It would blow me away. So here's a good answer for that. How much of the kingdom should we experience? Can we expect to experience? As much as we can stand and not die. As much as we can. But that increases and it grows more and more and more the more we see the Lord, okay? So Matthew 13, verse 44. Jesus speaking, He says, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure buried in a field that a man found and reburied. Then in his joy, he goes and sells everything he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. When he found one priceless pearl, he went and sold everything he had and bought it. Now, there are a couple of phrases in here that honestly, as many times as I've read this and preached on this, I had never seen like this, never. And so hopefully we'll shine light on it from a little bit different angle today, and maybe you'll see something you haven't seen. These are two parables in one, but things change a little bit between them. But here's what the first one says. The kingdom of God is like a treasure hidden. The word there is hidden. What in some translations says buried, but the word really is hidden. Hidden in a field. In other words, it's not in plain sight. And a man found it, and he went and he sold everything he had to buy the field. Now, there's a couple of things we need to understand about that. This guy's walking through a vacant lot, right? And he goes to this field and he trips over. He didn't know it was there. He wasn't searching. He didn't have a metal detector because there weren't any back then. And because no batteries. That was the only reason. They had them, but there weren't no batteries for him. So he's not sweeping the field trying to find treasure, right? He kind of stumbles over it. Y'all listen, there are many of us in this room that we could say, if we look back in our lives, we stumble over the kingdom of God. We didn't know it was there. We were just walking through the field, man, and all of a sudden, we were, as C.S. Lewis says, surprised by joy. We were surprised by the kingdom of God. But this guy stumbles over it, but he realizes what he's found. This is incredible treasure. And so here's what he does. Now here's the incredible phrase here. I want you to see this. So, now, well, first of all, he reburies it. You see that? He finds it, and then he reburies it. He probably doesn't rebury it the same hole he dug it out of, because now he knows what he's got. And so he finds this thing that was hidden, and he hides it again. So, Mark, what does that mean? What are we doing? Are we supposed to hide the kingdom? No, this speaks of the mystery of the kingdom, the unknowable part of it. But basically what it is, it's a picture of this guy. He is so committed to this incredible treasure that he's found that he will do whatever it takes to own it. He'll do whatever it takes to possess this treasure because now he knows what he's got. And he wants to make sure that he gets to possess this deal. So he goes and we'll back up just a moment. He goes and he buys this field. But, you know, don't you know he's got this bubbling thing in him? But he can't let on. He can't let anybody know that he's found this treasure, because as soon, you know, what happens if he just digs the treasure up and takes it to the bank? Well, somebody's going to say, now, where'd you find that? Oh, I found it in this empty field, this vacant lot down there. Well, what's going to happen? The person, you know, the word's going to get around, and somebody's going to say, hey, my lot, I own that, my treasure, thanks for finding it for me. Here's a couple of shekels for your effort. And so he says, no, I've got to own this whole deal. So here's what I love, and I'd never seen this phrase like this before, ever. It's like a man that he found it and reburied it. Then, look at this, in his joy, he goes and sells everything he has. Now, I mean, think about that for just a moment. That's not usually the the emotion we associate with somebody having to sell everything they have, right? Why do we usually, when you find somebody has to sell everything they have, what usually brings that about? Usually it's not a joyous occasion. Usually we do it to pay our taxes or to get out of trouble or, you know, whatever, to pay our bills. We have to sell everything we have, and we're really usually not happy about it, right? If you've ever been in a position where you've had to sell everything you had, it was not a happy time. But this guy, in his joy, sells everything he has. And I get the impression, you know, I don't want to read too much of it, but I get the impression he didn't take time to list it on eBay. You know, he's not concerned about the highest bidder. He just wants to get rid of it. He's trying to get a certain amount so that he can buy this field. Why? It's because, everybody, he has found that there's a treasure in this field that is more valuable than everything he owns now. There's something he's going after that's worth more than everything he has ever known. And so he happily, gladly, in his joy, sells everything he's got. Why? And he buys the field. Now, what's interesting here, too, is that he doesn't just buy whatever little parcel of the field he reburied the treasure in, right? He doesn't rebury it in the northeast corner and then work out a deal where he buys that little parcel, that northeast corner. He buys the whole shooting match, the whole field. I mean, he goes after it all. Why? Because this treasure is worth it. No matter what I got to do, I'm going to make sure that I possess this thing. Now, so Jesus says that's what the kingdom of God is like. This rule and reign of God, everybody, this life in the will of God, this life that is submitted. Y'all, this is so huge. This life that Jesus says is available for us in submission to God himself, saying, God, I just want to follow you. I want to love you and obey you. I want to know you, whatever it takes. That life is so valuable. First of all, it's worth everything you've ever known. Listen, if you have to give up everything you have for it, you'll be glad you did it. And you'll be happy doing it. See, it won't be a burden to you. It won't be hard. You won't be at your garage sale saying, oh, I hate to let that go for so cheap. You say, take it all. Y'all just take it. I've got to have, as soon as I get one penny more than I need, I'll give you that penny and then I'm going to do this deal. And so what he does, he doesn't say, well, I'm going to go for this treasure, but I'm only going to do what I have to do to get it, no more. I'm not going to do any more than what I have to do. I'm not going to sell any more than I have to sell. Listen, this is a guy who says, I don't care. I'll take the whole field. I'll take the thorns. I'll take the vines. I'll take the roots. I'll take the broken bricks. I'll take the termites. I'll take the boll weevils. Whatever's in the field, I'll take it. I don't care. Whatever else comes with it, I'll take it because I've got to have that treasure. And so God is calling us to a life, everybody. Jesus puts before us a life that he says is so valuable that when we see it, everybody, listen, when God opens our eyes, when we really see the value, how incredibly powerful it is to live in complete surrender to the rule and reign of God, nothing else is worth it. It all pales in comparison. And we say, God, whatever it takes to own your kingdom, whatever it takes to possess this life of living in you, I'll do it. I mean, I'll just take it. No matter what else comes with it, I'll take it. I'll take the thorns along with it. Listen, you know, this is going on right now in Lakeland, Florida. Do you know that? There's a revival going on in Lakeland. Have you ever heard about this? Okay, Todd Bentley is a minister down there, and Todd is a really strange character. Todd is a fire plug of a guy, and he's a fire plug, too, yeah. He's a fireball, but he's also shaped like a fire plug, right? He's kind of sort of squatty and solid. But Todd is the instrument that God is using for this revival in Lakeland, Florida, where people are getting healed, I mean, all over the place, every night for hours and hours and hours. And it moved quickly from the church he was preaching in to a stadium, a baseball stadium in Lakeland, Florida. And it was growing and growing, people coming from all over the country, of which we will be some, by the way. Real soon, we're going to get up a trip, so... All over the world, people are coming in. And we're going, doggone it. Hey, nobody's having a revival without me there. We're going, doggone it. So, but Todd is this guy, and I've heard him preach from Bill Johnson's podcast. He's a good friend of Bill. But Todd's this guy that he's got tattoos and piercings all over him, you know, and bald-headed guy, and tattoos coming up. And the thing is, people are watching this on TV and on the internet, and you know, ooh, this is Revival Lakeland. And Todd gets up to preach, and they're going, ooh, this guy, this is the guy? God's you? This is the one God's using? well, okay, I'm not so sure about this revival. He's got tattoos. You know, and piercings, please. And so I was talking with Sam Nord the other day, and Sam said, well, Doug White, who was with us last week, we were talking, and he loves us going to Lakeland. He said, Mark, I got to tell you, he said, Todd is the least attractive instrument of revival I've ever seen in my life. I was talking with Sam Nord, and Sam said, you know, I asked the Lord about that, which is good. God doesn't mind, ask him. And the Lord said, what about this? And the Lord spoke to him and said, see, because some of Todd's tattoos are from before he got saved, his piercings. Not all of them. And so Sam said, I asked the Lord about, you know, this package that he's using. And the Lord spoke to him and said this. I love this. The Lord spoke to Sam and said, don't judge how I wrap my gifts. Sometimes I wrap them in the finest paper with the prettiest bow. Sometimes I wrap them in the funny papers. And you know what I'm talking about, because you've done it. So have I. And so that Todd is one of those guys, you know what? He is a gift of God wrapped in the funny papers. But here's the thing, everybody. Listen, when we see the value of the kingdom of God, of the all out, nothing held back, rule and reign of God in our lives, not only will we say, God, everything that I have, I'll give it all up to get that. But we'll also say, God, whatever else comes with it, I'll take it. I might not be sure about it. I might not understand it. But whatever comes with that kingdom, give it to me. I'm ready. I'll take it. I want to possess that. I want to own that. I want to get in on that. See? And so, you know, listen, there's this hunger that comes in us when we see the kingdom. Now, but here's the interesting thing. Look at the next parable. It ties into this. There's a little bit of a twist here. Verse 45, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. When he found one priceless pearl, he went and sold everything he had and bought it. Now, he went and sold everything he had, and he bought this one priceless pearl that, I mean, he got this pearl. But understand something. He was searching for pearls. So watch this, watch. In the first parable, we are the man who finds the treasure. And we want to get on the kingdom. And the second one, we are the sellers of the pearl. Because the world is looking for pearls, even if they don't know it yet. The world is looking. See, when this guy's a shopper. He's going out with a purpose. He is a merchant of fine pearls. He knows fine pearls when he sees them. And so he's seen all the best pearls. He's tried all the best shops. But he finds this one pearl that he knows is worth everything that he has. And so he sells everything he has to own this pearl. Now, why does he want to own it? He's a merchant of fine pearls, so obviously he wants to resell it, right? No, it doesn't say anything about him wanting to make a profit off the pearl. He wants to own it because the pearl itself is so precious and so valuable. He says, I've got to own that thing. There's this whole joy of ownership deal, right? I've got to own that thing. Man, I have to have it. Y'all, listen, we are the seller. Now, you understand, right, that we're not in the church. We're not peddling a product. You know that. We're not selling Jesus. I mean, you understand my heart, right? But for the sake of this analogy, we are the sellers of the pearl because the world is out there. There are people all around you, everybody, that's looking for pearls. There are people that are looking for something valuable. They're looking for that one thing that'll make their life make sense. They're looking for that one thing that is worth them selling everything that they know, everything that they've had, that's worth them just saying everything that I've ever known pales in comparison to having this. They're looking for that. Even if they don't know what it is yet, they're waiting for it. And we have it. You know what it is? It's the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is like this. And so, but here's what we do though. You know what we do? People come and they're looking for this one thing. And you know what we do? We try to talk them out of it. We say to them, well, okay, if you want this kingdom of God thing, you can have it. But boy, you better count the cost. Because it's going to cost you, it's going to cost you big. And you better be ready. So we talk about the cost of discipleship, and there is a cost of discipleship. But you know, I've heard before there's a higher cost of non-discipleship. There's a higher cost of not following than there is of following. But we say, well, there's a cost of discipleship. Okay, now here's the deal though. Here's how we need to be able to start presenting this. Let me back up a little bit. Here's the deal. People are so, they're so clamoring for something that they want. I was reminded of that last night. Some people try relationships, and they'll keep trying. They'll go to one seller after another of relationships, waiting for that one that'll make them complete. Right? They do that with possessions. They do it with cars. They do all this stuff. Last night, we were listening on our way back from somewhere, and we have satellite radio that has a 70s station, which I love. And, I didn't realize how really bad some of these 70s songs were that I used to sing along to, and I had no idea what I was singing. Right? Things that just, today I'm saying, oh my goodness. Like this one we heard last night. You remember England Dan and John Ford Coley? Oh, it's sad to belong to someone else when the right one comes along. God forbid. That's horrible. That's terrible. So I'll just pretend for the rest of my days. Oh, please. But, and then you just couple that one right with, if you can't be with the one you love, love the one you're with. I mean, the thing is, people, they'll go from one relationship to the next. Hey, we'll just find whatever works for the moment. And we have, everybody, a relationship that they're looking for. We have the meaning that they're searching for. We have the fulfillment, the satisfaction, the acceptance that they're yearning for. But what we do, though, is because we don't understand the value of what we have that we discourage them from buying it. We say, well, I've had this pearl for years and it hadn't done a lot of good for me. It's just made my life harder. But hey, if you want to become a Christian too, all right, fine, I'll pray with you, but better be ready because life's about to get real hard. Here's what we need to be. Instead of being those kind of sellers, we need to be like... Oh, I try to ignore it, but it just didn't happen. All right. That was a bilingual sneeze. Yeah. All right. So here's the deal, everybody. Listen. We need to learn to be like a Rolls Royce salesman. Right? This purveyor of fine automobiles. So we have a customer in the showroom, and here's what we say. This is a beautiful car. And it will cost you an arm and both legs. And you will love it. It's gonna cost you... you'll be surprised. But you'll be so happy to pay the price, it won't even matter. And when you start worrying about how high the price is, all you got to do is go sit in the car and it'll all be okay. Just enjoy the smell, enjoy the atmosphere, and it'll be fine again. And so the salesman of the Rolls Royce is able to say, listen, this is, there is a responsibility to ownership. You're going to have to take care of it. You're going to have to drive it. But listen, let me tell you something. When you pull up into your driveway, and all of your neighbors go, said, it won't matter to you how much this thing is costing you because there's this incredible joy. And so this guy, this customer, in his joy, signs away his life just to own this car, right? And he's happy about it. See, there is a cost of discipleship, but everybody, listen, here's what we need to understand. Here's what I really want us to get. For too long, we have treated life in Christ. We have treated salvation. We've treated a relationship with Jesus like something that we have to say, well, okay, I'll give my life to Christ, but if that means I have to lose these friends, okay, I guess I'll turn my back on those friends and these habits and these addictions. Okay, if I have to, I'll go this way. God, I hope you appreciate my great sacrifice for you. And Jesus says, yes, some sacrifice. You're trading in your favorite pebbles for a handful of diamonds. I mean, yeah, they're nice pebbles, and you've had them for a long time, but they're just pebbles. Whatever you have to, everybody listen, whatever we have to lose. Now, there's part of us that says, and if you're a parent, there's part of you who rises up and says, no, wait a minute, there's a cost too great to pay. I will not give my children. Well, Libby and Melvin Badon are not here this morning because they are at the seminary graduation of their daughter and son-in-law, who in September, I believe, will be going to Madagascar as missionaries. Madagascar is not the most friendly place on the earth to believers. But Melvin and Libby, though, have said, all for the kingdom. And if that's what it takes, if I have to give my children to the kingdom, I'll do it. There was an old Keith Green song that used to really, really get me. And he said, I pledge my head to heaven for the gospel. And he talks about, I'll give my life, and if I have to be martyred, man, I'll do it. I'll give my life for the gospel. Then he takes it a step further and he says, I pledge my wife to heaven for the gospel. And that gets a little harder. Then he goes further and he says, I pledge my son to heaven for the gospel. Though he's kicked and beaten, ridiculed and scorned. Y'all listen, when we see the incredible value of living under the rule and reign of God and all that that means, when we make ourselves available for God to extend His good government in people's lives through us, when we really see that, you know what we see? There is no cost too great to give up for that kingdom. And anything we have to lose, that it is cheap at twice the price. Because this is God. This is the rule and reign of God. This is miracles. This is lives being restored. It's the dead being raised. It's people being healed. It's people being saved. It's families being put back together. It's people being moved out of the kingdom of darkness, moved into His marvelous light, and we get to be a part of that. It's us hearing from God every day and having the Holy Spirit who says, this is the way, walk in it. And it's us enjoying this relationship with God. Y'all listen, this is the kingdom. This is what it means to live under the rule and reign of God every day. There is no life to compare to it. Y'all, all right, everybody look up here for just a second. I just want to be as clear as I can about this. There is no life that you can choose better than a life completely submitted to God Himself and whatever He chooses for you. Nothing. Nothing is more valuable. And when we see that, it's not a struggle to let go of our old life. It's not us saying, I'll make it. No, when we understand how good it is, our sins, everybody, are forgiven. They are washed away. It's as if we have never done anything wrong. We have new life. We have a new heart. We have a relationship with God, the creator of the universe. He will speak to us. He reveals Himself to us, and we love Him and we know Him. We live. We have eternal life that starts now. It's the kingdom of God. When we see that, everybody, we will find ourselves saying, what do I have to do to get in on that? There's a method of evangelism. Now, before I go any further, let me say, all evangelism is good evangelism, okay? I believe anytime somebody is telling somebody else about Jesus, that's a wonderful thing. It's a good thing. We bless that. However, there are some methods more effective than other methods, I believe. And there's a method of evangelism right now being taught, and it's okay, but it's built around showing people how bad they are. So the conversation goes something like this. So have you ever told a lie? Well, sure I have. Haven't everybody? Well, what do we call people who tell lies? Well, I guess we call them liars. Aha! So you admit then that you're a liar. Okay. What, have you ever stolen anything? Well, yeah, sure. I stole something when I was a kid. Well, what do we call people who steal things? Well, those are thieves. Aha! So you admit then that you're a thief. Well, as a thief and a liar, you can't go to heaven, and so you're in need of a Savior. And the point is to show people their need of a Savior. And understand that, listen, we all need a Savior. We're sinful before God, and so we need to be saved, and that's a good thing. However, I tend to think that that method of evangelism is not nearly as effective as saying to people, listen, whatever you got going on in your life, whatever level you're living at, you can trade up. I'm telling you, there's a way of living. There's a kingdom of God. There, being submitted to God's way in your life, being surrendered. Listen, it is so good to hear God's voice. It is so good to live with a clean heart. It is so wonderful to be able to lay hands on people and see Him healed. It's so good to see what God does. Listen, whatever you think is worth your life right now, it's really not worth it. You can live at a higher level than that. Come on up. See, that's what we are. As the seller of the fine pearl, we see these people who are looking for what we have, and we say, hey, I know what you're looking for, and boy, have I got it. You need to trade up. It's where, if you have to sell everything you have to get it, get it. Here it is. And we offer them the kingdom. But in order for us to do that, we've got to see the value of it ourselves. We've got to know what it is. The wonderful life. Y'all, listen, how much is it worth to you to not live under guilt and shame anymore. What's it worth to you to have a clean heart? What's it worth to you to not be a slave to your addictions? What's it worth to you to not have any bitterness and unforgiveness wedged in your heart because of hurts that were done to you years ago? What would you pay to be free from all that? If you could write a check today, and if you knew you had the money to back it up, how much would you pay to be free? All it takes, everybody, listen, all of you in this room today, you can make that transaction. You can write that check today. Mark, what do I have to give? Everything. And if you do, you'll consider it a bargain if you get in on the kingdom. See, everybody, that's the truth. That's the truth of the kingdom. And that's how we need to be talking to people about this wonderful life that we have with God. It's not a burden, it's not a struggle, it's a gift. And you, listen, give everything you have for it, sell it all, and get this thing. Because this is the only way to live. And so, we are the ones who have found a treasure in a field. And whatever it takes, we're going to buy the whole field and we'll take everything that comes with it. And in our joy, we'll sell everything we have and get it. And we are those who have what the world is looking for. And if we'll just make it available to them, they will sell everything they have to get the same thing that we have. Now, so here's what I'm going to invite you to do today. I believe there's some of you in this room right now that the reason you're here today is because you need to make this transaction. I really believe, I think there's some of you here today that you have never entered into a transaction with God where you've said, God, here is my life. See, y'all, listen, can I tell you something? I believe for too long we have talked about this relationship with Jesus in terms of what you get. We've talked for too long in terms of, listen, you just need to receive Jesus and you'll get forgiveness and you'll get eternal life. Now, that's true. But the big question is not so much us receiving Him, it's that we need Him to receive us. Lord, would you take me just like I am? I'm not much of a package. I don't have much to offer, but would you take me and make me new? See, it's not so much about what we get, it's what we give to get what we get when we give it. And we give it all to get what God gives.
Say that again,
Mark. No. I don't think so. We'll play it back on the CD in a little while. But I really believe, everybody, listen, there are some of you in this room that today, listen, today you need to enter into this transaction. Listen, there's some of you in here that maybe you have never said to the Lord, God, I choose you. All you got to do is say, yes, God. Whatever it means, I'll take the whole field. Whatever it means, I'll give you my life. And when you do, you receive a life in return far more valuable than any life you give. It's worth it, everybody. It's worth it. And my commitment as pastor is that we will be a church full of people who will give all for the kingdom. Holos, henica, basileia. All for the sake of the kingdom. So I'm calling you forth today, everybody. Whether you've made that transaction or not, there are some of you in here today that what's in your heart is to say, Lord, I want to see the kingdom for what it is. I want to see it for how valuable it is. I have a treasure that I don't even know how valuable it is. God, show me what it means to live, to grab a hold of it and possess this kingdom. I want to be one of those who helps me, who people come to me and say, man, what is that pearl that you've got? I've been looking for a pearl like you have. Can I have one? You have another one for me? So here's what I'm going to invite you to do. In just a moment, we're going to stand. I'm going to pray over you. But before I pray, I'm going to invite you to come. Anybody who, if you'd like to receive prayer today, maybe God is just stirring in your heart. There's something moving in your heart today, and you just like somebody to pray for you. We want to pray for you today. So I'm going to ask you to come forward here in just a moment. Just stand along the front. When we're dismissed, you are free to go. If you need to go, by all means, you're free to go. But if you just kind of respect what the Lord's doing with those who are up here, we're going to do that, okay? Why don't you stand with me right now? And I'm going to pray in just a moment. But before I pray, every head raised, every eye looking around, I want to invite you today, if there's something stirring in your heart, in your gut, in your spirit, there's a flame burning there, and you want to submit completely to this kingdom, you want to know the value of it, you want God to transform you into someone who can give this kingdom away, then I want to invite you just to come down front and stand down along the front here. Let me pray for you. Good. Come on right now before we pray. The Lord's just moving in your heart, and you want to grab a hold of this deal. Come on front. Good. Amen. Good, good. Even as we pray in a moment, if you're not down here, if you change your mind, you want to get down here, then you get. Y'all, there really is no good reason to put off this transaction. So, in just a moment, we dismiss. Marianne's going to help me pray for you, and Neil and Pam, we pray in, and Lee, I want you to come down and help pray for people, okay? We're going to spend some time with you guys who've come. Listen, I just rejoice with you. I believe what's happening is you're stepping across a line, and you're stepping into a life that is so far beyond anything you've ever known. And it is so, and there is no price too high to pay for what the Lord has for you to receive, okay? All right. We're going to pray, and after we pray, we'll be dismissed. Thank you for being here. God bless you. Man, what a wonderful day to be with the people of God. And we'll be dismissed, but I want to invite you, if you want to get prayed for, you can come on down. Father, thank you so much for your presence in this place. Lord, thank you for what you have given for us to experience your kingdom. Lord, thank you for your invitation for us to become citizens of a better kingdom than the one we've been living in. Lord, we honor you now, and we pray that you would take us and transform us into real kingdom citizens, people who demonstrate what it is to live under your rule and reign and to know you in a personal way. Lord, thank you for being here. Now, Father, we pledge our lives to heaven. We pledge our heads to heaven for the gospel. We pledge our families, we pledge our careers, we pledge our possessions, everything we have, everything we are. Lord, we say to you, we are yours, all for your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you.